Do you need logos or custom designs for your small business? Then contact Pete from Diamond Graphic Studios today at diamondgraphicstudios@gmail.com. That's Diamond spelt D-Y-M-O-N-D, graphicstudios@gmail.com for your free quote. Diamond Graphic Studios, a proud sponsor of the Brand Podcast and Magazine, available online at thebrandmedia.uk or your favourite podcast player. Welcome one and all to the 8th episode of The Brand Podcast, the podcast by creative-minded people, made for and about creative-minded people. As always, I am Pete Davis. Now, on this month's podcast, I'm joined by someone who should make this episode a very easy one for me, to be honest with you. I've commented in the past how I started podcasting for one reason, because I simply love to talk. But my guest puts not only myself, but many other podcasters to shame. He could be described as a podcast junkie, someone who I believe started podcasting, I believe anyway, in 2015, and through his various brands of shows, simply hasn't stopped since. He's reinvented his brand when and where needed, whilst producing, editing, and hosting hundreds at least of podcasts during that time. He also now hosts an online radio show, holds down a full-time job, and remains a devout family man. How he has the time for this show tonight, I'm not quite sure. Welcome to the workaholic of the Shrewsbury Biscuit podcast and USUC Network, Alex Whiteley. How are you?
Hey, man, thanks for having me on.
What a great intro.
It's all downhill from there, mate.
I like being built up like that because then the listeners go, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Oh.
Well, I mean, the thing is, as I've always said on this show, I want to highlight people who aren't perhaps, you know, out there with the huge names, you know, as I've said before, not the Coca-Colas of this world. The people who are doing creative stuff that perhaps we don't hear about quite as much. And I think, you know, you're one of those guys, to be honest with you, you do work your backside off, produce a lot of stuff out there, podcast-wise.
Yeah.
And do a lot of good stuff as well.
Thank you. I mean, I do appreciate that. And it is a graft. It really is a graft. For the listeners at the home, they're like, podcasters, arrogance, you know, kind of come hand in hand, really. I'm not out there to be the next Joe Rogan. I'm genuinely just out there to create a community. You know, podcasting was there for me when I first needed it, when I needed it the most. And the community that I sort of fell in with because of the podcast I was listening to, they sort of helped me so I get through my day to day and stuff. And that's what I wanted to offer people.
Yeah. Deep as well.
It is deep. I mean, like from the get go, as soon as you start doing something like this and you do start, you know, sort of building an audience together, you start seeing it, getting the comments and the messages, and you see people come back and sort of message you and stuff. You know, we've got people from the very beginning that are still with us today, no matter what I'm doing. And they, like, the most interesting thing is that they follow me as not just the brands or the podcasts I make, they follow me onto the radio, onto the biscuit, onto my social media and stuff. And it's beautiful to see. It really is.
Well, I mean, the guy I know, the Alex I know, I guess, is pretty, as you say, dedicated to podcasting and the audio medium, you know, as a whole, really. Now, my first question is going back to, I mean, I guess you've answered this slightly there, but going back to when you were younger, what was it that made podcasting and, as I say, the audio medium such a big love for you to get where it has literally become such a big part of your life?
For me, it's all about how silence is deafening. I mean, especially if you're a podcaster, you know, a minute is an eternity, especially when it comes to editing, right? So, but no, silence is definitely. I worked at Asda. Listeners in America, that's Walmart, like Walmart. And, you know, I was used to seeing hundreds, you know, if not, I was a security guard as well. So if not thousands of people a day. And then I went into a job in support where I was working by myself during the night. In an office by myself. I mean, I'd see the kids I was working with, but from like 2 o'clock onwards, it was just me, you know, and it was horrible. It was really horrible. And I really struggled with it. And my friend was like, dude, you just throw a podcast on in the background. And I don't know what everybody else does. They go, what's a podcast? You know? And he was like, let's have a think here. He's like, do you like this, that? I didn't do you like this. Do you like that? And he goes, do you like Kevin Smith? And I was like, yeah, I like Kevin Smith. You know, who doesn't like Dogma, Jane, Silent Bob and all that, you know? And he was like, well, here you go. Here are some podcasts for you. So there was Edumacation. There was Hollywood Babylon. There was the one he did with Scott Mosier. You know, I found this universe of podcasts that I could just throw on in the background and they just helped me. So my mental health was just cured instantly. You know, really? It's on staff. Yeah, honestly, just have that in the background. I know why people leave the radio on for their dogs when they go shopping now, you know?
Because it feels like you're with somebody else and it's not just you, I guess. And yeah, that makes a lot of sense, I guess.
And you know, even if you're working, typing away, doing stuff, or, you know, and you've got this thing in the background, you're subconsciously taking all that information in, even if you're not technically listening to it. And then what you find, because of that, is you go onto Facebook and you find groups and you find pages and you find comments of people who are talking about this thing, then they've all got familiar, you know, they've got in common. They're talking about an episode they just listened to and they're all cracking the same jokes and stuff. And that for me was priceless, absolutely priceless.
Yeah, I mean, had you got the idea of doing a podcast at that point, or was it just these podcasters I really like listening to, this podcast I like listening to? Or, you know, when was it that you started to think, actually, I'd like to do this too? And who was it who perhaps, you know, gave you that idea?
It was the guys from a podcast, a little indie podcast I found, still friends with me today, called the Two Broke Geeks. And they're a couple of bunch of guys. And, you know, I always thought podcasting was for like people that had loads of fancy microphones and equipment and some stuff I could never afford, you know. These days it's very accessible. You can do it on your phone if you need to, if you really want to. I found these podcasters, and it's actually because of Hollywood Babylon. They were in the crowd and like, yeah, we're from Two Broke Geeks. I remember the episode like it was yesterday. So I Googled them, found them, listened to them, and I was like, oh my God, these guys are just like me. They're broke and everything like this in the name of the show. and they got me to realize that sort of anybody can do this if they've got enough dedication. And so I messaged them and I was like, kind of like, how do you do this thing? And they were like, you need this microphone and stuff. And so I did. I was like, okay. And I was drunk with my mate one night.
How all good stories start.
Yes, so all the best stories. Shout out to my buddy James Rose, Jimmy Rose. And I was like, I really want to start podcasting. He was like, yes! You know, like you do when you're drunk. Yes, we should totally do this.
Everything sounds like a good idea.
Absolutely. And there's a couple of us about. And then the idea was to get a bunch of my friends about. Because, like, you know, I started listening to podcasts, you know, conversations. I'm thinking, this would be a great podcast. So I wanted to get, like, four of my friends together, have a geeky sort of podcast and I share a bit of banter and create a community. So we decided on like name, trying to look for names. There's me, there was Andy Craig, my friend, and Matt Rubis. And we were going to call it 4-Star Geekly News.
Okay.
I don't know why, because there's four of us, I guess.
Yeah.
And we're looking for things that names that incorporated four people. So we were drunk again on a separate occasion and we were whilst looking for a name for this show. Yeah. And I was like, I suddenly just came up with Thorskin. Thorskin. Yeah. And Jimmy was like, what? What the fuck? He was like, what are you on about? And I was like, well, like, okay, so Thor, we like geeky stuff, right? Thor, as in the hero. Four, you know, kind of play on words. Four.
Yeah.
And kin, as in we're bringing people brothers, together. Yeah. Thorskin. Yeah. And it's cheeky. And that was it. That was the start of it. And that's where Thorskin came from.
And that was just it then. So I guess that was back in somewhere around 2015, something like that.
About that, yeah. About 2015, yeah. That's where it began.
And that Thorskin was an R-rated show. Now, did that start off, because I know that it became something with presenters from across the Atlantic, and it was very much a precursor to a lot of today's shows, which we'll talk about a bit later. But did it just start off, you mentioned the four of you, were the all four of you UK-based creators originally, or...?
So originally it was meant to be four of us, and then Matt, who's Matt, you get a few beers in him and you can't shut him up normally. but the idea of putting a microphone in his face is like, nah, I can't do that. That's how he talks. I can't do that. No way. Oh my God. He sounds a bit like Garth from Wayne's World, right?
Wayne's World, yeah.
He looks like him too. so he dropped out, and Andy Craig was kind of like, yeah, maybe, might be there. I don't know. You know, I was kind of like, so it was just me and James. We just started it, and he's a Telford lad. I was in Telford as well, so we were very local. And we were doing shows about, you know, E3. We'd cover that, or we'd find things to talk about. It was all very, very much just YouTube at the start. But I started getting really, not obsessive, compulsive, you know, kind of, I was kind of like, I really want to do this. And Jimmy was kind of like, dude, calm down, just chat a bit. You know, we've only got one friend that goes a bit too far. Yeah. But he was very selfish and decided to have a baby and have a life and stuff. So I was kind of like, oh, shoes. I can't, what am I going to do? He's like, I can't do this. I've got to concentrate on the kid. I was like, how dare you? And so I reached out to, well, at this point with the Kevin Smith stuff, I joined a group called The Garmy, which is a group page for Ralph Garman, who's a co-host for Hollywood Babylon. I got to know the guys really well. They made me an admin on the group because I was just, I don't have a life. I was just kind of, I'm here, might as well help out. And I threw a message out to the admin guys that I was working with at the time, and there just happened to be Tom Bruno there. And I was like, guys, I need a co-host. I don't care. And he's like, yeah, well, I'm in America. Can I help out? I was like, well, have you got a microphone? He's like, no. And I was like, wow. I another show that I started doing, which I'll mention in a minute, just got a bit of funding. So I've just been able to upgrade my kit. So I sent this orange snowball Yeti right. snowball in a shoebox across to Vermont in America so that he could join my show. And that's how it began. I sent his microphone in his shoebox across the ocean. He plugged it into his computer, and away we went. There was me, Alex, and Tom Bruno. That's where we began for Thorskin. Yeah.
And I take it that sort of early period with the three of you, you must have learned a lot of good things, a lot of bad things. You know, how to do things well, how not to do things so well. Can you talk us through a little bit about that journey?
Well, first of all, as soon as Tom went. Jimmy left, so it was just us two. And like, it's all about chemistry for me.
Yeah,
like the most important thing about a podcast is to make something people want to listen to. And I used to turn up with notebooks and I used to write reams and reams of notes. In fact, Jimmy James was the one thing he'd take Mickey out of me for, because I'd just like create this complete plan. I'd send him, we used to use like Samsung Notes, I think it was, and we used to use like links and at this time we go to this website and we bring, here's the picture for reference and stuff like, you know.
Wow.
And I think one of the things I learned the most is that you don't, notes, reams and reams of notes, they kind of hinder you at times. I always bring notebooks. I've got two notebooks here. But they're there if I need them. So that's the biggest thing I learned, is that it's all about chemistry. And as soon as I sort of partnered up with Tom and Bruno, and we clicked straight away from episode one, we were like, whoa, that was amazing. Let's do it again. You know, that's the most important thing. It really is. It's all about that.
Something I'm learning, obviously, I'm much earlier in my sort of podcasting life, and I'm still in very much in that, you know, reams and reams of notes phase, to be honest with you. Maybe not quite as much as you with the whole links and stuff. And yet, you know, the producer of the show, the editor, Daryl, he can write down a sentence on a piece of paper and off he goes. There's a show there. And I guess that's just something that comes with experience that, and like you say, if there's more than one of you, that chemistry that plays off one another, you don't need as many notes. You don't need as much of a focus sort of roadmap in each show.
You know, and don't get me wrong, there's no sort of arrogance attached to that.
No,
I can do this without notes. Look at me cycling without training wheels. Woo, off I go. It's about practice, and it's all about improv. Improv is one of the most important things. We used to do a lot of improv with Yusuk and Thorskin and stuff. We used to play a lot of improv-y type games. And I feel like it's really important because, you know, if somebody throws you a curve, somebody throws you a curveball during a live show or during something, even something like this, if you can pull it off and get that perfect response and keep the flow going, it's priceless, absolutely priceless. Improv is very, very important with what we do. And if you can do it without the notes, I mean, I've listened to podcasts that are scripted that sound great before. If you're into your murder mysteries or true crime or, you know, stories, hi. Today we're going to start a story about a guy who fell down a well. You know, if you like those kind of things, great. But for me, it's all about conversation and where's it going to go next. So yeah,
scary stuff. But I guess, you know, you don't think about it as much anymore, thankfully. Now I'm going to move on in my notes here to 2017. There was a bit of a shift in direction, and earlier on you swore and then went, oh sorry. And that's partly from what I've seen, because you do a couple of different shows. One, obviously, you mentioned Thorskin, which has become Yusuk, which you have mentioned. And the other one, which started around sort of 2017, 2018, was a, I mean, it was a conscious decision for you to start a new brand, which was where you moved to. You relocated to a place called Shrewsbury. Many people know it's the birthplace of Charles Darwin, which many people won't know has been cut out from the show because I'd forgotten. But the Shrewsbury Biscuit podcast, obviously, you don't swear on. You take a very different view and very different direction, you know, in the way you act and portray yourself on there. There's a very different type of brand to the one on You Suck or Thorskin. You know, first of all, what made you decide to create the Shrewsbury Biscuit podcast? I mean, you've described it as you wanted to create an audio magazine, which I think is a fantastic way of describing something, because you basically fell in love with this new place you moved to. But what made you decide that, having done Thorskin, that this completely different type of podcast, this, you know, that was what you're going to move into from something so very different with Thorskin, where you could swear and mess around, and all of a sudden now it was going to be far more, you know, PG, basically.
Sophisticated. I like to use the word sophisticated there, Pete. I've got Lorraine Fletcher and the guys from For the Love of Shrewsbury to thank for this. This is a Facebook page that when I first moved to Shrewsbury, I was like, flipping out, this place is beautiful. Look at all the old buildings and the river and stuff. Like, it's fantastic. I'm so happy to have moved here. And it really is still the same. I absolutely adore this town. Yeah. One of the best choices I ever made was to move here. Okay, so, and then I found this page, For the Love of Shrewsbury, where people share photography at this place. And I saw the support that people were giving for a photograph. It would get hundreds of likes and lots of nice comments, and people absolutely adore this town. I was thinking, wowzers, there's got to be a bazillion podcasts and things about this amazing town. Yeah. And then I looked and there was nothing. It was a barren waste. I was like, why? Why is nobody doing this? This place is amazing. And I knew nothing about the town, just moved here. And I thought, I'd love to do a podcast about this place, but I don't know nothing about the place. Mm. And I thought that was it. Like, I thought I didn't know enough. And then I thought, that is the selling point, because I don't know anything about the town. So
you didn't have any preconceived ideas, and because you hadn't grown up there.
Well, that's it. And the idea was that I would learn about the town, so the listeners would at the same time.
Okay,
the listeners would. And the name Shrewsbury Biscuit, there's a two-pronged sort of attack for this. One is, there is a Shrewsbury Biscuit. It's a biscuit named after the town, or the Shrewsbury cake it started off with. And there's even a building on Castle Street in Shrewsbury with a plaque. This is the birthplace of the Shrewsbury cake. I want to own that building one day. There's that. And I went to a Ross Noble gig in Telford a few years ago. It's like, I don't know, sort of 6 months before the biscuit began. And he was like, oh my God, I'm going to start throwing Shrewsbury biscuits in the crowd, because it's Telford. Telford and Shrewsbury have a rival.
Yeah.
And the blank, the screen looked, sorry, the audience looked blank at him. They're like, what? And he was like, you don't know what a Shrewsbury biscuit is. And he's like, you don't know that your rival town has a biscuit named after it.
No. And I'm somebody who's lived in Telford for many years of my life. And I lived in Shrewsbury for several years previously. I hadn't got a clue. Never heard of it.
But that's it, right? So I'm learning about the town, same as I just learned about that there's a Shrewsbury biscuit. So there was this amazing idea that the Shrewsbury Biscuit podcast was what it was going to be called. And I remember exactly where I was. I was going through, it was the roundabout by Telford roundabout on the way to join the EP. I was like, oh my God, the Shrewsbury Biscuit. I was on my way to work. It clicked. And I was like, this is what should happen. Build it and they will come. Well, those epiphany moments. Yeah.
The Shrewsbury Biscuit, despite not being your original podcast, your original venture, the biscuit has pretty much become you now. And that's not to say that there isn't a team around you, and obviously we'll talk about them later, but you have been described as the biscuit guy. You get recognised. And I'm going to mention a couple of things here. You've actually won awards for the biscuit, haven't you? Local awards. Is that correct?
That's right. So it might be, I mean, the Mayor's Award.
The Mayor's Award.
I won a Mayor's Award. We're on a Monopoly board.
And you're on the Monopoly board. That was the other thing I was going to say. So, you know, Shrewsbury has got its own Monopoly board, and the biscuit is actually on it. I mean, they must be huge.
I mean, like, so there was a PR company that was working around sort of finding places to go on the board, and they were kind of reaching out to places. And so what I did was I reached out to them. I took the preemptive, because this is what I do. I don't just sit on my backside. Yeah. I'm kind of like, what can we do today? Who can we speak to? And how can we sort of work with other people? So I reached out to them anyway. I was kind of like, yo, you know, if we do some, you know, sort of some podcasts and sort of build up the event to the leader of this thing, maybe we can get on a card or something. I don't know. What do you want to do? And he's like, yeah, of course. Yeah, you can build the, we'll put you on a card and we'll do some podcasts. So that's what we did. Exchange of media, you know, that's what we did. And they launched the Monopoly game at Shrewsbury Prison. And we obviously got asked to come and do some interviews and create some vlogs and stuff. So we turned up at the launch. Me and Shane, one of my co-hosts, Shane Hinton, shout out to him. We turned up at the prison, which is where we work as well. So it was like familiar ground. We went up to the board. It was set up. It was there the first time we saw this Shrewsbury Monopoly. And it's me and Shane rifling through the cards. And I'm like, we're not there.
Like two kids in a shop.
Oh, honestly, it was amazing.
Got need.
Yeah. We're rifling through these cards. And I'm like, we're not there, man. I can't see us. Where is it? And I'm about to burst out crying. I think I got so excited. And he goes, we're on the board, dude. And I was like, what? He goes, we're on the board. And he points down to the square. And our logo is on the actual board. So that was an amazing experience. Yeah. So we're part of the Hasbro universe, bro.
And obviously, as you say, you didn't know anything about it, which would have made it extra special.
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of knew about it because we talked about it. But as soon as I've gone from, in like a split second, I've gone from real disappointment, oh my God, we're not on there, to, oh my God, we're on the actual board.
That's the thing. You didn't know you were on the board. You kind of figured, like you say, you could be on a card somewhere and it would be some insignificant little thing that somebody might look at. But no, you're actually immortalized on that board.
And not just that, like, you know, the whole thing with the podcast stuff is I always had this preconception. I think it's because of, I've grown up seeing Jamiroquai smash cameras out of press photographers' hands and stuff like that. I've always had this preconception of the press being hated. Right? It's, oh my God, here you go. I have this. Go, and off you go. But no, people love that. You know, the first time we turned up at a Comic-Con, people were like, here is the green room. Here's this. Here's the Wi-Fi password. If there's anything you need, we're here. And all the stars that are taking part, they're in here having lunch. If you need something, grab it. You know, and I was kind of like, oh my God, they welcomed us. And the same with the Monopoly thing. They weren't like, oh, here's your square, bugger off. They were kind of like, here's two copies of the game. You can give one out on the competition. Enjoy. Thank you very much for being a part of it. And enjoy your day. And it was like, I was so blown away by how welcoming people, and they are still to this day. You know, I recorded at a coffee shop called, shout out to Daily Brews in the town hall in Shrewsbury. We recorded an interview with Cherie Gerard, who's very well known. You'll know who Cherie Gerard is. We recorded in this coffee shop because we're still waiting on funding for our studio. And this guy that owns this coffee shop was like, if there's anything you need, thank you so much for recording here. We'll give you your drinks. Yeah, there's a table. We'll do anything you can. You know, and I was kind of like, wow. I was just so blown away by how nice people are when you come and do stuff like this. It's just so brilliant. It really is.
You mentioned there about, you know, the welcoming of the people, obviously, of Shrewsbury in particular. But you do seem to have, because I know you've had problems with finding places to record from in general. And obviously with the last 18 months, things have, you know, really been up in the air. And I guess you've lost your space in town currently. Is that right?
Yeah.
But as you say, you seem to have garnered an awful lot of support and love from the community through the work with the podcast. You really do seem to have been taken on quite severely by Shrewsbury, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is with something like this, right? You can tell a couple. Social media is good for you know, if you pump loads and loads of money into it and you have the resources to be able to do amazing things, make amazing content, release it, share it, and do these kind of things, but we don't have those resources. We have me, you know, and so we've been able to, with what resources we've had, we've been able to sort of spread out as far as I think we can. And we will continue to do so. It's all about, for me, and this is what I say to all podcasters, is get out to local events, get involved with your local community and find places where you can show people who you are. You know, if you can turn up, like we've just done a couple of festivals. We've just done the Shrewsbury Food Festival and the Shrewsbury Folk Festival. I'm walking around in my t-shirt and I'm getting interviews with people and people are seeing this. They're looking at my t-shirt and they're going, who's this guy? And going, the Shrewsbury Biscuit. They might follow me on Instagram, you know, and, you know, every time we go to an event, we may get 10, 20 more followers because of that event. Yeah. But that's what it's all about. It's all about being part of your community. It's very, very important to me. And, you know, we have been welcomed by Shrewsbury, by the people that have followed us and they have become part of this community that we've built. they sort of appreciate what we do. Because the way I describe the biscuit is, it's a bit like the One Show for Shrewsbury, you know? It's kind of like, we cover a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So you can look at the Shrewsbury biscuit and you can go, nope, don't like that, don't like that, like that. And, oh, well, I like this. Yeah, I like this guy. You know, that's kind of what the biscuit is all about.
You mentioned all the shows you've been covering and all the work you've been doing in Shrewsbury. And I will mention it now. It's something that you mentioned on the show, or at least the ones that recently I've listened to especially. The biscuit's become a CIC, which is proof of the work you've been doing in the community. Because it's a non-profit organisation, basically. That's correct, isn't it? It means that you don't have any shareholders, that you've been recognised as something that's loved and works for the community. And again, as much as the awards and the monopoly boards must be, you know, really, really proud, to be recognised as something like that must be huge.
It's all part of a bigger, wider plan. I mean, we became a CIC so that we could get the funding to grow. But we've become a CIC. We did what everybody else does. We've opened a business account. But this all happened pre-COVID. So, or even at the beginning of COVID. So we were going to become a CIC. We were at a point where we were about to start doing festivals and bring on sponsors. But like, yo, the biscuit, a bit like what we're doing now. We were supposed to be doing that side of COVID, and that sort of stopped. So we created a CIC, we opened up a business account, and we earned nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. So everything's yes, we're a CIC. Down. Yeah, completely. I mean, we did. I recorded personally. I've done a bit of producing and earned a bit of money, making audio bits here and there, and that kind of money's just gone straight back into the biscuit. It really has. Yeah. This is. I really want this to work. So anything I make, we'll go back into it. So we bought tables and chairs and table covers and all the sort of stuff you'd need to be able to go out and do festivals. And so we bought all that and then the world just stopped. So, I mean, yeah, we're a CIC. We're waiting on funding to see if we can. I have an idea to try and help hospitality because, like I said, community is at my heart, right?
Yeah, and that's something that really needs it right now, yeah.
Absolutely. Hospitality bars, so I have this idea of, I do these things called biscuit diaries. I've started doing them on our YouTube. Please follow us on YouTube, the Shrewsbury Biscuit Podcast. So the biscuit diaries, so we turn up, we make a vlog, we release it, right? And we show people what's going on. And I had this idea of turning up at restaurants. I don't know if you guys watch Bar Rescue. So some of the American listeners might know what Bar Rescue is. A bit like Kitchen Nightmares, you know, but in a positive version. Like, you know, you turn up to a restaurant, like, oh my God, this is Hickory's, and you should go around the bar, and then you speak to the chef, and then you look at the food, and then we have a discussion about the food, and we share the good vibes, right? But we do that with musicians as well. We speak to bands. I mean, we cut into a live gig at Albert's Shed, and then we come back, and it's all about helping local bars. So we need help. We need cameras. We need funding. So I've been speaking to a lot of people, going, please help us. Give us studio. Give us equipment and stuff. So I find out tomorrow if we got the funding. So wish me luck.
Oh well, best of luck for that. Best of luck. But hopefully by the time this goes out, that you'll already have it, and you'll all be celebrating. You know, the future of the biscuit is in good hands.
I feel like, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just feel like. That's the worst thing for me, is sitting there with my cup out, you know, so please help
me.
You know, I feel like podcasting has been kind of almost encroached on by lots of, some of the celebrity podcasts you see are very, very good. They're very good, but it seems to be, I wouldn't say this isn't an elitist movement going on, not really the podcast, but kind of almost at the same time.
Yeah, I think the same sort of thing is potentially happening on Kickstarter with comic books now, you know, not mentioning any names, but yeah, you know, big names who don't really need the money and don't need to be on Kickstarter, they're using it as a way to get their brand out and get back into the book. So they know early on whether they're actually, you know, the sort of sales that they've got, the potential sales they've got. So, I mean, I guess in many respects, it's good business, it's good marketing, but it does kind of make the smaller, you know, the smaller creators, like, you know, like you say, the smaller podcasters, a little bit more difficult for you to make money when Rogan or somebody's out there, you know, and people are more prepared to give them money, I guess, than you.
But I feel like with people like with like Rogan,
I'm not speaking ill of Seth Rogan there. It was just the first name that popped into my head because I know you're a big fan of him.
I was
oh, okay.
Even moving to Spotify, I mean, it's when you hear things like Jason Bateman, right? You think, oh yeah, I know Jason Bateman, he was in that Dodgeball movie, wasn't he? Did Ozark? Yeah, it's all right. $80 million you got given to make a podcast exclusive for like Spotify, I believe. Yeah. Or, and you know, and then Joe Rogan got the $100 million for Spotify as well. And that kind of, for me, is kind of like, yes, it's great because there's a lot of interest with podcasts, but at the same time, it's kind of like, yo, Spotify, I'm doing this amazing thing for my community. Yeah. I would take 50,000.
I was going to say 50 million then.
I'll take that too. But, you know, and the weirdest thing was, and this isn't like, this is going to sound like one of those massive brags, and but it's genuinely true. And if you want to write to my good friend, Ant McGinley, who does a wrestling podcast, and he does On the Left Side as well. Amazing guy. Proper podcast OG. And I've learned so much from Ant McGinley. I love you. But he rang me one day. This was, again, during COVID, just before Christmas it was. Alex, hello. He was like, we need to talk, buddy. I was like, why? He goes, I've just been speaking to Alex. She's the CEO of Spotify UK. She's just mentioned the Shrewsbury Biscuit to me.
Wow.
And I was like, okay. And she was like, yes, because when it comes to podcasting, you have London and then you have everywhere else, because everything that happens outside of London and does really well is kind of doesn't happen, doesn't exist. She goes, but they're looking at like community podcasts and they know of the Shrewsbury Biscuit. And I was like, okay, amazing. And he was like, I've mentioned to her. She said she's going to get in touch. She still hasn't. So weird how that happens. You know? Yeah, well, you know, I'm not saying I'll be earning that Joe Rogan money, but I might have this is the thing. I work too hard. I do too much, right? I'm working on so much right now and I'm making myself ill. I mean, the food festival I mentioned earlier, I did a 26-hour day. I did the food festival. Lots of walking, lots of talking, lots. And you've got to be on. When you're doing stuff like you've got to be on all the time. Hi, I'm from the Shrewsbury Biscuit. You know, and you can't be seen picking your nose or farting in the corner somewhere. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've got to be on. So I did that, had half an hour nap, and then did a night shift. And then by the end of the day, I drove back. I came home. I was white and just shaking. I was kind of like, I need sleep, you know. Yeah. But it's paying off in a little bit. You know, even though I'm kind of breaking myself, I do feel like there's going to be a point at the moment where I won't have to work as hard.
Well, I mean, hopefully. But there's obviously, you mentioned there your mental health, and you mentioned mental health earlier on. And it kind of ties in with the whole COVID situation this last 18 months. You went into it, you know, there was a whole thing about CICs and there was a positive future. And then everything shut down and you know, your brand of podcasting is going out and actually meeting, you know, we're doing this over Skype, over Zoom sort of thing.
Yeah.
Your style of interviewing is going out, going to the cafes, going to their businesses and talking face to face. And obviously that's shut down. So from a mental health side of view of all of a sudden having all these hopes and dreams and things seem to be really moving forward to everything shutting down, must have been a real kick in the bits, basically.
It, for about a week or so it was, because we were just about to go there and do it. We've been commissioned, I mean, like, we've been given permission to go to events and do these things, right? We had the studio at the Parade, a shopping center. Big shout out to the guys at the Parade shopping center, because what's happened isn't because of any malice or anything. It's we were making use of their empty shopping units.
Yeah.
So they were like, yeah, you can use this. And they weren't charging us any rent, which was an amazing thing. But the PR that Beth Heath at Shropshire Business Hub, what's the name of that? Beth Heath. Right. She works for the PR for the Parade Shopping Centre, and she did such a good job that people were suddenly like, oh, there's a shopping centre tucked behind St. Mary's in Shrewsbury. And they did really well. Now they've run out of units. So they're like, I'm really sorry, you have to go. I'm like, sorry, okay. So we had all these things. And then, yeah, for a week or two, it was very difficult because you're like, well, what plan B, man? What is plan B? And it was this Skype, Zoom stuff. And what we actually did was we kind of flipped it on its head, because we were one of the only people that are still going. We were showing people how charities had evolved during the pandemic, and we were talking about how businesses have been doing, new startup businesses during the pandemic. And then with the USUC stuff, we launched USUC. I mean, this is why USUC is struggling. I'm going to put that out there right now, and people know this. USUC is struggling. I feel like I'm flogging a dead horse a bit. I work so hard. We get the biggest stars on there, and it's not doing anything. It's sitting there doing nothing. And that's because it started at April. It started in April, right at the beginning of the pandemic, where we were supposed to go to Comic-Cons. And we were supposed to, the idea of that was to compare US and UK culture. So we were going to do Comic-Cons in America, Comic-Cons here, events there, and sort of talk about that. That was the idea of USUC. That didn't happen. So again, plan B. And, you know, it was we're kicking teeth, but we did something positive with it. We carried on going. And huge shout out to all the people I work with, because there was a moment there where I was kind of like, well, that's it then, isn't it?
And I think most of us were like that. Most of us were like that. And you mentioned USUC there, and I was going to move on to USUC and ask really the question of, was it a pre-planned idea? Because it is kind of a follow-on in some respects from Thorskin. There's a difference in the branding, because you've kind of branded it as a big network, and rather than just Thorskin was the Thorskin podcast, and you had some add-ons like superhero bar fight and stuff like that, wasn't it? But you really sort of branded it as being, this is a network, and there's going to be this show and that show, the Weekly Bazaar and WTF, and Superhero Biofight did continue, but I think it's Chronicles or something now, isn't it? And you kind of branded it as being a network as opposed to being one show and some add-ons. And you mentioned how it has struggled a little bit. And I got to be honest with you, it surprises me a little bit, because I went down and I had a little look at some of the guests that you'd had on the show. I mean, you've got Sean, is it Kanan or Kanane?
Sean Kanan
from Karate Kid 3. Although personally, he was also in episodes of Who's the Boss, which is a far bigger show for me. Jeffrey Weissman was in Back to the Future 2 and 3 as Jordan McFly. We've got writer and producer of Saturday Night Live and Impractical Jokers, Casey Jost or Jost. You've got voice actors Billy West and Charlie Adler, who've done Fry and Futurama and Farnsworth, also the Red M&M. That's a huge one as well, clearly. Charlie Adler was Starscream in Transformers, huge names. And obviously, one of the biggest stars, I guess, of the lockdown, Carol Baskin. For a network or a show to be struggling, and you've got some huge names on there. I mean, sort of my question there is, A, how have you got some of these names? And B, I guess, you've got some, who was, what sort of guests, what were some of your favourites there?
So the I think to answer the question of how is because of the reputation that, I live for The Biscuit and I live for USUC and all the shows and the networks that we make. So I love them. But you Google Alex Whiteley as opposed to USUC and The Biscuit, then you see the reputation that we've got, the people we've worked with and the stuff we've done, right? So I think that's the kind of how. Also as well, my wife has been fantastic because during a lot of what's been going on recently with an event I'm planning and with The Biscuits, a lot's been going on. She's been sitting on Instagram just messaging people. I created this sort of copy and paste email to send off, and she's just like, there's another one, and another one, and another one.
She's assistant, basically.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's all about reputation. So what people will do, and in fact, this is what happens a few times, is we will speak to Anna. It's huge, a huge shout out to TV Guestbert. It's somebody we work with. They're a publishing company in LA. They have people that publish books through them. We've got a good relationship. So they will suggest guests to come on our show. And now we're talking to MDs, doctors, psychologists, health coaches, and these people that are a bit more sophisticated. And, we're talking to we spoke to Dr. Selena Nadelman. She's one of the biggest cancer biopsy doctors in America. Like, she's got her own practice in Beverly. She's worth millions, and she's there effing and blinding on a podcast with us because she's gone back and listened to the show and goes, yeah, they may swear a bit, but it's a bit tasteful. And that's the difference between Thorskin and USUC.
Right,
Thorskin was very much a kind of, I don't do drugs, but like as a metaphor, it's kind of like bang a rail, let's do a podcast, and we didn't care what we talked about, right? And that's kind of where I was kind of like, I need something I can pair it with the Shrewsbury Biscuit. I can't be like, here's my more R-rated show, my R-rated show, don't mind the abortion jokes. I can't do that. It's not in my, no. I can't do that.
It wouldn't help your brand with the biscuit, surely.
No. And I think that's where we went right, is that we created USUC, which was more R-rated, but more about community and a bit more sophisticated. Yes, we may throw a few F-bombs in there, but it's all tasteful. It's not nothing. Because I really do respect people that say, I'm not going to do too many swears on the podcast, or I don't like swearing on the podcast, because I appreciate there's sometimes a bit of, when someone's like, oh my God, I can't listen to potty mouth. Some people are like that, and they do appreciate it. And I feel as well, if you're not going to swear, you show a bit more of an intellect as well.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I swear so much in real life, and I try not to on the show, so it doesn't really factor in there. So if I do come across as being intelligent on the show, I'm not in real life.
You get inventive. I just use the word shoes to hide a swear.
You did,
shoes.
Yeah, that's
cool. So I mean, and lock yourself up. But yeah, so that's how we get the guests, is by being nice people, I guess. And why it's not working, I think what happened was, is we literally went, Thorskin, you suck. We didn't go, Thorskin, have a break, build things, you yeah. suck. We were kind of building you suck while we were still doing Thorskin. And, you know, I think we recycled a lot of the social media. I think that the page, we just changed the name to you yeah, suck. Yeah. That kills the algorithm, I think, a bit. The fan page, which we got, again, we just recycled the name for it. And I feel like we went to a stage in life where the world got saturated with people stuck at home making podcasts.
Well, yeah, I think so many podcasts were born, including this one, obviously, over the last 18 months. But as you say, the now means there's an awful lot out there. And I guess you've got to be a bit pickier with what you choose and what you listen to. But I mean, as I say, the biscuits seem to, yeah. you know, that seems to be pushing forward, albeit slowly at the moment, obviously, because of the last 18 months and COVID. But it sounds like with a little bit of tender love and care, you could have a bit of a jump too. It's just, you know, a little bit more work. But as you say, you've got to be careful not to put too much of yourself into it. When, you know, how much more have you got left to give? At this point, you need a break every now and again. And maybe that's where maybe you're putting too much on yourself.
Yeah, I think so. I think so too. And, you know, you mentioned Chronicles as well. The Jamie Westwood and Tom Stevens did join us from Thorskin, and when we moved over, and they were doing Superhero Bar Fight, and you know they were doing amazing. They switched it up, and they, in fact, they became podcasters that I look up to now. And they decided to fly the race, do their own thing, which is what we were very proud of. You know, they were kind of like, we want to do Chronicles by ourselves. We don't want the use of yeah. branding. We want to do it ourselves. And I was like, absolutely. Crack on. And they've gone and flown the nest and they've done their own thing. And what I want to say to podcasters, if you're listening to this and you're starting your own podcast, and like yourself, this is early days for you, Pete, is to say, don't put all your eggs into one basket. You know, if Usup fails tomorrow, then it fails tomorrow. I'll just do another podcast. You know, yeah. It's all about you, right? You are the most important thing when it comes to this thing, not necessarily your brand. You know, if you create a strong enough community and you create something that people enjoy, they will follow you onto the next project. I'm not saying you suck's going to fail. I'm not saying I'm not going to do it. But if I don't do it, I'm not going to cry myself to sleep about it. You know, I'll be like, okay, we'll come up with another idea.
The next idea, yeah.
Yeah, because everybody likes the podcaster. You know, people follow Joe Rogan from YouTube to Spotify, and he's still got millions of adoring fans. You know, so as long as if this is what you want to do, and you like speaking down a microphone, then just keep doing it, you know. Mm. Don't worry about it too much. I put too much stress on myself about you suck, whether it's going to fail. I mean, you know, like I said, Carol Baskin, you know, we'll throw that onto YouTube and it'll get like 25 views. And I'm like, what? That's Carol Baskin. Like, why has that only got 25 views? Yeah, you know, there's 100 subscribers on there. With the Shrews of Biscuit, I'll release a vlog with 20 subscribers, and it'll get hundreds of views. And your head just can't get around things like that. Do you know what I mean? It's insane. It really is. Just don't worry yourself too much, I think, is what I'm trying to say. Well,
you mentioned some of your team. And I think at this point, I guess it would be good to acknowledge you haven't necessarily done all this on your own, although you do an awful lot of it yourself, to be fair. But you have had multiple people on both sides. You know, the You Suck. You mentioned Shane Hinton earlier on, and Shane Chebsey, all the Shanes. You've had... Lucy also did Weekly Bizarre with you. You have had quite a few co-hosts, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess part of the reason I'm saying this is I know that for a fact that certainly on The Biscuit, you've had a couple of very different personalities, very left and very right. And you haven't sort of said to yourself, well, I only want a certain type of people on my podcast. I don't care whether you vote this way or that way, whether you this way, you know, I want you all inclusive. I want to produce a podcast that has a wide variety of personalities and opinions. And do you think that's helped?
I've got to be careful how I say things now because I don't want to offend anyone. No,
no. I understand.
No, but it has, because this is all about building a community, right? This is all, everything behind everything I do is all about community. It's all about helping people and giving people, and that goes to the people I work with too, right? So Shane Hinton, we spoke about on the show before, so you won't mind me saying, but he was going through a dark time in his life. He was struggling. I was kind of like, let me give you some focus. Here you go. You want to help me with the Shrews of Biscuit and with Thorskin as well at the time. When the biscuits started getting too much for me, I was kind of like, I need help. help. So I reached out and Jules Fox joined me. We had DD forward as well. It's just, I think, the right side of the contingency that you were talking about. Because you're very much a typical Tory. We mentioned it on the show a few times. But like, this is it, right? I feel like when it comes to social media and when it comes to podcasts and things like this, if we all polarize ourselves and you go, no, you're a Tory, off you go, off my Facebook thing. Oh my God, you're a Trump supporter, off you go too. If we do that and we'll then divide, you know, you'll have only left-sided people on your Facebook, you know, and that's kind of what's happening.
All the other
way, anyway.
Obviously, you know, for anybody who's on the right side.
Exactly, right? So I feel like this is culture, this is life. You know, even if you don't like hearing what you hear, there's still a different side of life. So I'm gonna keep DD there. I'm gonna keep Shane there. So you got Shane, who's like the guy's guy, a typical working man, and then you got Dee, who likes her horses, and she likes, you know, she's like I said, typical Tory.
Likes this nice things.
This is life. We had Max Brown join us as well. We've got a couple of photographers, Phil Morris and James Warman. So we had this amazing team for the Shrewsbury Biscuit. And then with You Suck, we had, there's me, obviously Tom Bruno, Jamie and Tom, Lucy and Shane Chepsey, who I've worked with before. I think we're mutual friends. That's kind of how we knew each other, I think.
Yeah.
It was great. But my problem is I am good behind a microphone, as your listeners may agree today. I'm all right. I'm great. Behind a microphone, right? Give me a microphone, I'll do that. I'll do it every day, all day, every day. When it comes to planning and organizing and moving masses of people and managing that kind of thing, I ain't the best. You know, I can tell people that I need things done, but when they don't get done, I get a bit antsy, right? I'm very hot-headed and very passionate. And this has been one of my, I'm going to be always honest about this, you know? I am planning a thing called Pod Aid, which I hope you don't mind. I'll mention at the end of the show.
No,
I'm
planning this thing. Carry on, yeah.
Yeah, I'll mention that at the end of the show, but there's lots of moving parts, right? I am stressed. I guarantee you, I am stressed every single minute of every single day at the moment. We've got 2 weeks to go for this event. I am stressed. And when that mixes with I do have anxiety problems. You know, my mental health isn't always the best and have these things to organize. So when we mix all that together, I am still learning. So I do get a bit like, why haven't you done this? Where's my help? I need that. And it rubs people up the wrong way sometimes. And I'm still learning about that. So it's not a case that I'm a bad person. I can't plan anything for Toffee. It's a case of I have this thing that I absolutely adore and I need to make sure it works well. You know, I'm sure it is passion. I'm sure people can relate to that. You know, some of us are good at what we're doing, but we're not necessarily born leaders. And it's actually Eric Pfluger, who I've worked with. Oh, I forgot to mention, by the way, shout out to Eric Pfluger, who we do Yelling at Clouds together. He's one of my mentors in life. He's an amazing artist. If you listen to Hollywood Babylon, you will definitely know who Eric Pfluger is, 100%. And he was like, well, that wasn't good leadership, was it? And he explained to me why. And he's an older guy. He looks after me and stuff. And I'm learning a lot from the people around me. So yes, it helps me. I can cause the issues myself, but at the same time, it's the people that also help me get through.
And it kind of follows on to something that kind of you mentioned earlier on in the day when we briefly spoke via text earlier on. As you say, you're hosting, producing, editing so many of these shows. And as I say, we've just mentioned the teamwork that you're getting help, but you clearly put so much on yourself. Now, I've mentioned that I can only manage one of those things. And I, you know, hosting. And that's about it. You asked me to produce and edit. I'm really struggling. Without Daryl, genuinely, I would be a dribbling mess. There is no doubt in my mind that is the truth. So you mentioned there that, you know, you have managed it, but you do get stressed, et cetera, even with the help of the team. But this joy of doing what you love so much.
Yeah.
Does it at times pretty much kill or at least hospitalize the joy of what you love doing so much? If you understand what I'm saying. You know, you love it so much. Is it damaging that joy?
Yes.
You know, you mentioned your mental health battle. You mentioned burnout and stuff like that. You know, now more so than ever. And I don't think that mental health is more important now than it ever has been. The truth of the matter is we're just talking about it more. It's out in the open more now. But it does seem to affect us so much. And there is so much put on us nowadays. You know, you can't just say, well, I go to work and then I come home and I look after the kids and that's it. No, you're expected to... Or I go to work and my partner stays at home and they look after the kids. Now, you're both expected to go to work. You're both expected to look after the children. You're also both expected to have social lives, et cetera, et cetera. So this passion you've got for the love of podcasting, as I say, sometimes, is it just too much?
Yeah, it is. Because I want to succeed. I want to succeed. So I'm constantly working. you know, when you realize you're good at something in your 30s, there's a bit of a rush there to try and do something. If I'd have realized I was good at this at 16, I might have been on Radio 1 now going, hi, guys, welcome to the show. Chris Moyles in Get Up With The People, you know. But no, I do put too much on myself. I mean, I'll explain my week to you now, guys. And also as well, I'm very lucky in the fact that I'm a support worker and I work during the nights. But when it's quiet, say 2 o'clock in the morning, and it's like I can just throw up my laptop, put on some audio and listen to it as I'm doing my job, and I can edit whilst I'm on the move. So that I'm very lucky with that. So that's how I get a lot of my stuff done. So I'm very grateful for that. But yeah, I will take on too much. I will be like, so my week is Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, I work. That's my nights. Right. And those during those nights, I am editing in work whilst working. Wednesday, I do Wednesday night live at 9 a.m. after a night shift. 9 p.m. After a night shift. Thursdays and Fridays are my days for going out and getting biscuit interviews. So Friday, I'm going to Shrewsbury Castle. I'm going to be speaking to the Regimental Museum about their collection. I then have a prison break because I'm an actor at Shrewsbury Prison as well. So I'll do a prison break. Then on Saturday, I've got prison break too. Saturday evenings at 7 p.m. every religiously, I do my What's the Difference podcast interviews. Sunday back in work. But sometimes what I'll do is I'll be like, oh, let's go and do a festival during the day on the Saturday or on the Sunday. Thursdays and Fridays, I will do like 2 or 3 interviews a day if I have to. When I was at the studio in the parade, I would book in usually there's a guest for 10 o'clock, a guest for 12 o'clock, and maybe one at 1:30, and I'll do all that and then walk to get Timmy from school because it's walkable. I was taking on too much. But burnout is very important to acknowledge because that's when your content starts to suck a little bit. It really does affect what you're doing. You have to acknowledge that, like I am doing right now. We cancelled Wednesday Night Live tonight, and me and Tom Bruno have sat down and said, like, if we miss a few What's the Difference and take a bit of a break, even if it's a month-long hiatus, whatever, then that is what it will have to be, because I have to look at what's important. And what's important right now is Pod Aid and making sure that's working. So I'm just starting to acknowledge that now. And like you said, I started in 2015. Don't overload yourself, you know.
Well, you say that, and you also host a radio show on a Thursday evening as well.
I forgot about that as well.
Yeah, so don't pile too much on yourself. And oh yeah, I forgot the other thing I do as well.
Yeah.
And that's Naughty Talk, isn't it, on Splash Radio. Is that right?
So it's Naughty Talk, N-O-U-G-H-T-I-E, like the number, non-number.
Yeah, yeah.
Naughty Talk. So we do Naughty's music. That's for Splash Damage Radio. And yeah, it's every Thursday at 7 o'clock. And that's live. And that's a new thing too. I'm in week 20 tomorrow. I'll be doing that. It's fun. But the only problem is with that, I mean, we do have Discord running through the show so people can sort of tune in and chat to me and stuff. And they do. There's a few people that do that every week. But it's like, with a podcast, when you're doing a live podcast, there's nothing better than that live feedback. You got comments coming through, and you can sort of banter with the people. You don't really get that with the radio. What you do is you put together. I mean, I did a few bits. Big shout out to Matt Connaughton from Matt Connaughton and Leash in New Hampshire in America. In America, he's in Manchester, New Hampshire. And I've been on his show a few times and a bit on BBC Radio Shropshire, blah, blah, blah. So I've gone out and asked for advice. How do you make a radio show? What do you do? And most of the most reoccurring advice was make a radio show you would listen to. And that for me is a very important bit of advice for any content creator, you know, whether you're making a podcast or a vlog, or, you know, game streaming or anything like that. Make something that you would enjoy watching. And I feel like that's when the passion comes out. So that's what I do with the radio show.
Moving on, and you mentioned it a couple of times then, charity. And the reason I wanted to focus on sort of charities is the Shrewsbury Biscuit has highlighted not just one or two charities. It's highlighted many charities over the years. And obviously, especially during COVID, you know, the Shrewsbury Arc, which is for the homeless, child.org, the Royal British Legion, Dog Aid, Enable, which is help and advice for getting back to work, Share, which deals with addiction, PEG support, you know, child to parents abuse, that is, Age UK, Shropshire supports refugees, Little Bags of Kindness, which helps the community, and that sort of started, didn't it, during the pandemic, a charity called Signal, which helps deaf and hard of hearing people. You have focused and highlighted an awful lot of charities, which has now kind of culminated in something you're going to be doing in about two weeks today. And it's for the Lyngen Davis Cancer Fund. And it's something called PodAid.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us about that?
So there's this amazing thing that happens once a year, and it's called International Podcast Day, and it's on 20th of September. And last year I was a bit like, I was a bit like the kid on Halloween that forgot a costume. I was kind of like, oh my God, I really wanted to do something. Oh my God, I haven't got nothing planned. Oh, we can't do anything. Got nothing planned. Right. So I wanted to do something for that because I really like that. I like having a dedicated day for podcasters. I don't know. So I thought, let's do a charity event. What can we do? And I was thinking, what should I do? I was like, let's just do a 24-hour podcast. I mean, I stay up for 24 hours sometimes anyway. You know, sometimes I've got to work and not come to me. Yeah, yeah. So let's just do that and try and raise money. And I fell out with someone a couple of years ago, and she said that I had a hero complex. And I think maybe she's onto something. Maybe I've got a hero. Maybe I feel like, oh, I need to help everybody. I don't know. But I wanted to do something positive. And it's all, okay, so there are a couple of reasons why I've done this. One is I do highlight a lot of charities. It's very important. Again, community, it's all about that. But it's something to illustrate charities. And then there's something about helping a charity and doing something myself, right? So I wanted to do something. So I looked at Shrewsbury Charities, Shropshire Charities, and Lyngen Davis for me. And so we started on our journey. I was like, let's do this thing. So the idea is to do 24, like a continuous stream, 24-hour-long guests, some turning up. We got a venue thanks to the guys at Shrewsbury Town and Community. We're using their community reach hub, which is outside the football stadium, Shrewsbury. We have I reached out to Reach, who are a media company. I had them on the podcast. I was like, yeah, we're doing this thing. This PodAid. And they were like, do you want to help? And I was like, yeah. So they rebranded us. They did our logos for us and stuff. There's a board here. They did our logos. They did our marketing, our social media and stuff. And and this thing just grew. And grew. And it's been, there have been times when I've cried, genuinely cried, but because I'm working too much, because 24 guests, they all need to be scheduled. It's 24 hours of content, all needs to be made up. There are sponsors. So I don't know when this is going to go out, but there are opportunities to sponsor an hour of the show. So we bring up the logos and be like, this hour is brought to you by Alex Whiteley. Isn't he just the best? You know, all this kind of stuff going on. And it's weighed me down. It's really weighed me down. I do want to do this thing, and I want to do it again next year, but I think I need to be cleverer about how I do things.
And maybe look for help as well, and not look to take everything on yourself.
Well, I mean, we do have a team working, and this is where it comes back to again, like of me going, I've got all these things to do. I'm really passionate about this, guys. And I didn't even ask the guys permission. I was just like, yeah, we're doing this thing, guys. Off you go, crack on, find me guests and stuff. And it did stress me out an awful lot. But yeah, reaching out to, this is the thing, right? There are so many people I've worked with on The Biscuit and You Suck that I went, I'll be doing this thing. And they went, yeah, okay. So it's really good. And hopefully it goes ahead. Well, you know, we've had issues. I mean, we had cameras dropped off to us that the power units weren't working. And the Trevor from SAS, who's an amazing guy, by the way, because I reached out to him right when he was about to go on tour with Inglourious. He's now doing a 20-day tour with them. And so he's dropped off his cameras, gone on tour, and they didn't work. So I was kind of like, oh my God, what are we going to do? So I reached out to a community, Charles Denscom from Micro Videos. He does the videos for Shrewsbury Theatre 7. Amazing guy. If you get help from this guy, you know you're gonna be helped properly. But like there was just an abundance of people. Like, I've got this. I've got that. Andy McEwen, who's one of the most renowned artists in the UK, never mind in Shrewsbury. He does lights and movies and stuff. He's amazing. He was like, I've got cameras. You can use them. So I go for this pain of planning this thing. And then there's the community getting behind me for a change, and that is just, it makes it worth every single bit.
It sounds like it's kind of proof that not only the brands of the Biscuit and I guess You Suck, but the Alex Whiteley brand is clearly quite strong, certainly within the Shropshire area, but it sounds like further afield as well, with all the help you've been getting from America and all across the UK. So it does sound like the brand is not just the Shrewsbury Biscuit. it is Alex Whiteley. And that you mentioned earlier on that, you know, if you put out a professional sort of facade and people trust you, then hopefully you'll get that help back. And that definitely does seem to be happening here.
I have this metaphorical sense of karma. I'm not a religious guy. My religion is don't be a beep. You know, yeah. That's it. Yeah, that's genuinely it, right? So my metaphorical sense of karma is if you are a guy who people consider to be a snake, you'll always be remembered as a snake, right? If you are an eagle soaring high and you help people and you're strong and powerful, people will always remember you as that, right? So it sounds daft, but that's how I think about things, right? So work on yourself, be a decent human being, right? And sometimes, you know, they say nice guys finish last.
Yeah.
I don't believe in that at all. I really don't believe in that. I mean, yeah, it's a bit like being a Sith and the difference between a Sith and a Jedi, right? So you may get the Audi cars and the Beamers from pushing people out of the way and being the shark business guy. But at the same time, people will remember you as being an asshole. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. whereas if you're a nice guy, that reputation for me is priceless, absolutely priceless. So I'll continue to do that.
So other than being a nice guy and obviously not being an asshole, as you say, where does the future take Alex Whiteley and the Shoesy Biscuit and Usuk? You know, is it just pure growth now that we're coming out of the last 18 months, the last pandemic? You know, is that where you're looking to grow? You're looking to grow the podcasts, the brands? Where do you see yourself?
I want to, like I said, you know, people may see a podcast created by Alex Whiteley and go, oh, yeah, he's all right. I'll listen to that. That's what I want to work on, right? And this isn't about being self-deprecating, not like, oh my God, look at me, all hail Alex Whiteley. It's not. It's about creating, again, that reputation, that community sort of thing, and have people sort of follow me onto projects I work on, right? So that is the goal. I want to work on it. I want to do stuff with my voice, you know? If I could do this for a living, you know, I'm set for life. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I'll put a cut in pay. Hopefully not. But like, you know, I would, if I could do this, I would do it. You know, I want to look at radio. I want to look at a bit of voice acting because, you know, I do a few things, you know, I'm working on a few things. But I want to concentrate on local community, right? So the Shoes of Biscuit, we've got to wait for this funding. And if I have to lean more on the Biscuit and step away from Usuk so that I can get this to go, then I will. You know, because at the end of the day, I need to create a strong basis for the Biscuit because I have plans for creating a network of shows across Shropshire. So I want to create a Shrewsbury Biscuit for Telford, a Shrewsbury right. Biscuit for Oswestry, Street, Wrexham, we'll go over the border. I don't care. Like we'll create a network of shows all under one umbrella. And that have the same philosophies and do the same things. And that's not about making money or being like, oh, look at what I'm going. Look at me. Look what I've made. It's all about creating positivity. Now, Telford, I work in Telford. I've lived in Telford for many years. It's a troubled little town. It could do with a lot of positivity. And that's what I would love to offer. So Telford and Regan Council, if you're listening, give me some money and I'll help you out, bro. you and me, you know.
Brilliant. So as we wind up now, where can they find you and your brands, you know, where's the best place to get in touch, especially with things going forward and, you know, the charities, etc., with PodAid? Where can we find you?
You type in Usuk, USUK, into any sort of podcast search engine, Google, YouTube, whatever, you'll find us, USUK. We are on Instagram, Facebook, we're on Twitter. I don't really use Twitter much, but we are on there. So make sure you look for Usuk. And, you know, there are a number of different shows on Usuk. It's not just a particular show. There is Yelling at Clouds, there's past episodes of Superhero Bar Fight Chronicles, whatever. There's so many different things. And the idea is you find a show that you vibe with and you stick with it, or you like them all, whatever. Choose. And then there's the Shrewsbury Biscuit podcast. Oh, by the way, the website is well, usuknetwork.com. Check that out. There is the Shrewsbury Biscuit podcast. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn, but anyway. But you can find us on YouTube as well. Just type in the Shrewsbury Biscuit podcast, and our website is the Shrewsbury Biscuit podcast.co.uk. And then there's PodAid. PodAid is going to happen at 9 a.m. on the 29th of September. And we're going to carry on live in front of camera until 9 a.m. on the 30th of September. It's got its own dedicated social media because I want this to get, I'll add on to that at the end, but it's going to carry on next year. But like there's social media for that as well. So there's PodAid Facebook, PodAid Instagram, and there's PodAid LinkedIn. So please check that out. And next year, PodAid will be back. And the idea is to challenge content creators to get out into your local community, wherever you are in the world, and let's see if you can do better than we can. We'll set up a little league if we have to, and whoever does the best, does the best. And if you lose, what have you done? You've done something positive for your community. So rather than sitting and pouting in front of a ring light, guys, let's do something nice for our communities. And so Pod8 will be back next year.
Brilliant. Well, all that's left for me to say is thank you to tonight's guest, Alex Whiteley.
Thank you.
I was going to sort of have some outgoing speech about how grateful I am to have somebody like Daryl helping me with the podcast, because I couldn't do it alone like yourself. But to be honest with you, the show's been more about dedication, passion, and looking after yourself, to be honest with you. You've talked a lot more about mental health and things like that than just doing everything yourself. And I think that's the thing, that maybe that's the message to take away from this, that sometimes we all need a little bit of help. We can't do all this alone. But if you've got that dedication, you've got that passion, who knows where you can go. Alex, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on. Thank you. Thank you.